The strength and stability of the U.S. economy will help determine whether incumbent lawmakers from both parties could get their own pink slips in the November midterms. For a look at the road ahead, we're joined by our regular political observers, columnist David Brooks of the New York Times and E.J. Dion of the Washington Post and the Brookings Institution. Hello to both of you.
Good to be with you.
David, how much will the economy have to improve for Democrats and their leader in the White House to claim that they can try to ward off these significant losses and hold on to their majorities in November by claiming that the economy has improved?
Yeah, much more than expected right now. Even though we had a very good number, we're like nobody's punching us in the gut anymore. Government projections still are that we'll have like a 9.8% unemployment rate for the rest of the year because more people are going to enter the labor force. Productivity gains suggest that we're still going to see a long period of pretty high unemployment. So it's going to feel awful, at least for the rest of the year. And you combine that with a whole bunch of really terrible numbers for all incumbents, and that suggests this is a true change election. President Obama's approval rating hit 44 today in the CBS poll, the lowest it's been. The health care bill is still wildly unpopular, 35% for, 54% against in that poll. So there's still an incredible amount of anger and hostility, and that we're not seeing anything like the economic rebound we'll need to see to turn that around.
Now, the administration seems to be trying not to crow about this. We'll hear from White House economist Christina Wormer later in the program. She's saying this is basically a slow healing. But EJ, Republicans are saying that this is not necessarily good news for the Democrats. They say that the census staffing accounts for many of these new jobs, that they're betting that this protracted battle over health care has been a major distraction, noting that almost 7,500 jobs a day were lost during that health care debate. Are they wrong?
Well, you know, first of all, it's good to see Republicans admit that government is actually capable of creating jobs. And David is right in general in his relative gloominess. But first of all, thank God we're finally creating jobs. And I think it will take millions to make up for the losses. Unemployment will still be high in November. But I think it will make a difference in the mood of the country and perhaps in the political mood if we can sustain job growth for the rest of the year. And the president is going to be very prudent about this, as he was today, because he wants to foster confidence and optimism and say we're finally getting out of this. But he doesn't want to sound triumphant, given that there is still a lot of suffering out there.
EJ, I'm going to stick with you for just a minute because I want to turn to another consideration in the standoff between these two parties. You're in Florida checking in on the race between Marco Rubio and Charlie Crist. In these times, what does it mean to be a moderate? Is that somewhat of a dirty word or a death knell for Republicans?
Well, it's such a dirty word that Charlie Crist proudly calls himself a conservative. I think of him a little bit as a David Brooks conservative. I mean, he is one of the sunniest people. He has a 1,000-megawatt smile. He really doesn't like conflict. When I talked to him, he sort of criticized all of the cable shows where Republicans and Democrats say terrible things about each other. He's Governor Sunshine. But at this moment on the Republican side, sunniness doesn't help you very much. Anger and ideological fervor is what works. So Marco Rubio, the conservative candidate in his late 30s, has come from somewhere around 35 points behind Charlie Crist to at one point going ahead by 35 points. Of course, Charlie Crist still endorses President Obama's stimulus, and he hugged President Obama, which is a huge sin in the Republican primary. I think there may be a small turn in this race. Some of the more recent polls show Rubio's lead coming down. And oddly, I think if the mood improves a little bit between now and November, if jobs numbers like this do something for the mood, Crist may get back in the race. But it's very tough being even a moderate conservative right now.
Well, let me turn to our sunny conservative that's here in the studio, David. Are we at a point where we see precious few examples of politicians who move ahead and make gains because they happen to be moderates?
Yeah, I wish I had that megawatt smile. It's more like 50 watts.
I have a friend
who's a Republican, a moderate member of Congress, and he wanted to propose what he was going to call a moderate agenda, and he wanted people to sign on so there could be Republican moderates. He found out that for his colleagues in the House, you can't use the word moderate, so he called it a suburban agenda because the word moderate is no good. And so it's just a bad word, and it's a bad word for a whole bunch of reasons having to do with redistricting, where the money is in the party, where the energy. But to me, fundamentally, it's a problem of intellect. The centrists in this country, both in the Democratic Party and the Republican Party just have not put together the sort of coherent body of ideas that the left or the right. There are two great moderate traditions in the party, a communitarian tradition, which believes in community and social groups, and then a sort of a Hamiltonian group of limited government to enhance social mobility. Those ideas haven't been put together coherently, and as a result, the people on either end are just dominating.
Hmm. President Obama this week tried moderation with his plan to increase offshore drilling, moving away from a campaign promise he had made. Is it a move designed to actually win Republican support? Does he hope that they might sign on to this climate legislation, or is this really aimed at trying to show voters that at least he tried to extend a hand to the other side?
Well, I think his immediate problem is independence, and it may do that. And I think with some reason, if you look at his overall energy policy, it's not as bold as he promised, but it is balanced. I mean, not only this, the offshore drilling, but also a gesture in favor of nuclear power. There's a whole series of trying everything. And so it is a very balanced and I think a genuinely pretty moderate, sensible sort of approach that should appeal to independents. Whether it won't, given the larger issues, is another question. But it's pretty balanced.
Should appeal to independents. EJ, you want to weigh in there? Do you think it'll actually work?
Well, I think that he is hoping to get something through Congress on energy that will not now include cap and trade. He'd still like that, but I don't think the administration expects that. They're still trying to work with Lindsey Graham. This decision on oil drilling may be a classic case of a move that is designed to say we can have a broad consensus on energy policy. But the downside for him is that environmentalists, who are part of his own base, are clearly not wild about this idea, to say the least. On the other hand, Republicans continued to attack him and continued to attack him on energy. So he's trying to walk this line, but it's a very, very hard line to walk.
It's E.J. Dionne of The Washington Post and the Brookings Institution. We also heard from David Brooks of The New York Times. Happy weekend to both of you.
You do.
And you too. Thank you.